As I said at the beginning in the introduction to the Mass, this feast day that we celebrate today, the Solemnity, and the subsequent Solemnity of Pentecost act as a hinge moment in the Church. We see this evidenced by the very fact that our first reading of the Acts of the Apostles begins the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. And then the Gospel starts the conclusion of the Gospel of Matthew. Not too many times in the celebration of one Mass do we hear both the conclusion of a Gospel and the beginning of something new. Luke writes a Gospel. He also writes the Acts of the Apostles. Book 1, Book 2. Why didn't he just make a single book? Did he run out of paper? Get some new stuff? No, my brothers and sisters, it wasn't like that. Something is changing for the Church. The Church is going from one way of being, where they are walking with Jesus, Jesus is with them. Even in the resurrection, he is there with them. He appears and disappears, he comes into their midst. We might say, man, wouldn't that be awesome? Oh, I agree with you, it would be awesome, don't you think? I'm sitting here talking, preaching, all of a sudden, boom, shows up and be like, we have a special guest preacher today. I'm going to sit down now. Jesus, come on up, right? There would be an awesomeness to that, a uniqueness to that. But that is not the fulfillment of what Jesus has for his Church. There is something more. He has poured out his life for his bride. He is risen from the dead. She is reconciled to the Father. She is given the gift of reconciliation as he breathes on her. Whose sins you forgiven are forgiven them. He's poured out his lifeblood for her, washing her clean, preparing his bride. All this he has done, and yet there is one more thing that he wants to do for her, a gift to give to her. And that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Until the gift of the Holy Spirit is given to the Church, she is not complete. She is not complete. She is not ready for the mission that lies ahead, to go into the whole world, to baptize, to proclaim the good news, to make disciples. She is not ready until she has been anointed with power from on high. You cannot have church without the Holy Spirit. Now, our experience of church is often different. Our experience of church, even that word church, when we say, hey, did you go to church on Sunday? They're talking about this event. Did you go participate in the celebration of the Eucharist? Hey, I drove by the church the other day. They didn't drive by the celebration of the Eucharist, they drove by this building. Hey, I heard that the church promulgated this new thing the other day. I read about it in the newspaper. What are we talking about? We're talking about Rome. We're talking about Vatican City. We're talking about the diocesan offices of the Church of Rome and the Pope or the office of whatever promulgating something. Church. I heard that the church in the United States did this. We're talking about the USCCB, the Conference of Catholic Bishops in Washington, D.C., all of them together, promulgating something. We use the word church, church, church. But we use it in so many different ways. The celebration of these feast days purifies that in our mind. When we say church, it is the body of believers anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. Let's take an inventory of the early church. What do you say? How many universities did Peter and Andrew and James and John and all of those have in order to help promulgate the faith and proclaim it? How many universities? Zero. And yet, she was church. How many hospitals did she have? Zero. And she was church. How many schools? Parochial schools? Zero. And yet she was church. The church didn't have any Franciscans at the beginning. church without Franciscans? Yes, my brothers and sisters. No Franciscans, no Dominicans, and all of you graduates from Atchison, no Benedictines. I know it's shocking. Ravens were in the Old Testament with the prophet, but, you know, no Benedictines yet. No Jesuits. No Salesians. No religious communities at all. No Sisters of Charity. No Ursulines. No religious communities. No hospitals. No universities. No Catholic Charities of Northeast Kansas. And yet she was church. She was fully church. She was equipped with every possible treasure and gift. We read it in Ephesians. St. Paul says, know the treasure and the power that has been given to you in the Spirit of God. Do you think the church in its initial inception was somehow impoverished by Jesus? That Jesus leaving and giving the Holy Spirit, somehow he's going to, the church would become less full, less rich than when he was with her. Does that sound like Jesus to you? It doesn't make sense that he would impoverish his church in his leaving and leave her in a state of want or need. In the gift of the Holy Spirit to the church, she possesses every treasure, every power, every charism, every gift she needs to be faithful to Jesus and to do what he asks her to do, to go into the whole world. Let's continue with the inventory. So how many letters had St. Paul written when the church was born? Zero. How many gospels have been written? Zero. John, book of Revelation, zero. There was no New Testament at the birth of the church. The church existed without a New Testament for a generation. And she was still filled with everything she needed to proclaim the good news. Now, as Catholics, we're like, but to our non-Catholic brothers and sisters in Christ, I say to them, there was no Gospels, no New Testament, no letters of St. Paul, and the church was church. They'd be like, what? How can that be? No, the Bible, King James, it was there. I'm teasing, right, a little bit. But there was no New Testament yet. There were the scriptures, there were the Greek translation of the Old Testament that the apostles used and knew and they were aware of. But there were no letters to St. Paul yet, no Gospels, no Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John Gospels. They knew the stories, they were the miracle accounts. The miracles existed, but the story of them didn't. And yet the church was fully church. So we look at the institutions. How many church buildings did the church possess on Pentecost Sunday? When the church became church, how many church buildings did we have? St. Peter's in Rome, that big, beautiful new one that they built out in St. Mary's, Kansas? None. Zero. There was not a stone upon a stone that had the title Catholic as a part of it, or Christian. Only the people filled with the Holy Spirit and power, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, reconciled to the Father, is all that the church possessed. And we may have this attitude as we look at that and say, man, the church was poor. How many millions of pieces of artwork did the church possess at that moment? Zero. Was she poor? No, my brothers and sisters. She possessed the greatest gift that God had ever given to the church, His Holy Spirit. She had everything that she needs. Now, how are we to understand Franciscans and Dominicans and religious communities and hospitals and universities and things? These are all fruits, my brothers and sisters. It is the Holy Spirit pouring forth like a river, right? The prophetic, the Old Testament. We used to use the Old Testament today because, you know, Early church, no New Testament yet, right? The prophet seeing water springing forth from the side of the temple, going out into the wilderness, and wherever this spring of water flowed into the wilderness, there was life. Life, trees in abundance, fruit in abundance. Every month there was new fruit upon these trees, and the leaves of the trees were used as medicine. There was life and healing wherever the river flowed. When we look at churches, when we look at hospitals, when we look at universities, when we look at religious communities, my brothers and sisters, in that analogy, we're looking at the trees. We're looking at the trees that are springing forth from the desert, a place of desolation, a place of no life. All of a sudden there is life because the river flows. The river is the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters, flowing out of the heart of Jesus himself for his bride and the church, that there would be life. And that life forms, it comes to fulfillment in buildings like this, in artwork, in music, in institutions, in religious communities. All of those things we think of when we think of church, but do we think about the river that flows from the heart of Jesus? It is really easy to focus on the trees and the fruit that they produce and forget that there is a river that first prompted life. This is my whole point, this homily this weekend, is to draw our attention to the river, to the source of life, to the church that had everything she needed right from the beginning. Before the water even flowed into the world, she possessed everything she needed to be fully church. Now, it may sound like I'm speaking disparagingly upon our hospitals and our schools and our religious communities. No, I'm not, my brothers and sisters. Beautiful inspiration to the Holy Spirit for a given moment in time to meet the needs of this person, this place, this community, to go about the work of the church in this moment. Absolutely. But there is a river. There is a river of life. There is the gift of the Holy Spirit that flows in and through the church. And that same Holy Spirit is alive in the church today. We cannot look just to the institutions and miss the river. You can't hold the fruit of the tree in your hand and go, I love this thing, and forget the tree from which it came forth from. When we forget the river, what happens? When a religious community has sprung forth from an inspiration of the Holy Spirit in order to meet the needs of a certain generation, in order to proclaim the gospel in a new way, to meet that generation, what happens to that tree when it forgets the river from which it draws forth its life? We have all lived, well, I've lived long enough to see religious communities that were great and are now shriveled up and dead. Have you? I've also lived long enough to see new communities that did not exist 20 years ago, who have sprung up in a new way of life, in a fruitfulness that seems miraculous, to say the least. What are we seeing, my brothers and sisters? Well, we're seeing a consequence of economic and socio-political environment in which these things boil. We are seeing, at times, a deviation from the original inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the tree becomes about itself more than drawing from the life that the Holy Spirit would give. We also see the new beginnings in the work of the Holy Spirit around us. So, my last question for you, your homework for the week. Who is this Holy Spirit? Ponder that, my brothers and sisters. Who is this Holy Spirit that is the greatest gift that the church has ever possessed? Who is this Holy Spirit that could actually meet us in the absence of Jesus, in his physical resurrected body, now at the right hand of the Father? Who is this Holy Spirit who could come and to fulfill and to fill the church? You need to know this gift. This is the first and the greatest gift that God has ever given to the church. It makes no sense for us that we would not know this gift of the Holy Spirit, but we would know all of the trees, but not know the river that feeds them. See the absurdity in them. If that river dries up, if that river changes course, those trees will die. Because the source of life has been removed from them. We, as church, must know this life-giving font, this primordial gift, this original gift of love from the bridegroom to his bride. To know this gift, to operate in this gift, is life for the church. Why? Why do I say this? Because we can look around and we can see the church and we can see things in decline and we can say, well, what is wrong? No, we just need to build this new institution. We need to do this. We need to do that. No, my brothers and sisters, we need to draw deeply from this spirit of truth and life and power that has always been a part of the church. It's not us working harder. It's us drawing our roots into that which God has given us in order for us to possess life. Let us not forget that gift. So, you have more questions now than you came to church with? Good. Who is this Holy Spirit? Who is this great love, this treasure, this power that is poured into us that we might have life? Ponder it, my brothers and sisters. Come back next week, ready to renew this gift, this precious treasure gift that God has given to his bride, the church. In this is the source of all that we need to be faithful to him in this current generation at this time. Amen.